according to Luke. When the hour came, Jesus took his place at table with the apostles. He said to them,
I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I shall not eat it again until there is fulfillment in the kingdom of God.
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and said,
Take this and share it among yourselves, for I tell you that from this time on, I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.
Then he took the bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, saying,
This is my body, which will be given for you. Do this in memory of me.
And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying,
This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which will be shed for you. And yet, behold, the hand of the one who is to betray me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man indeed goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed.
And they began to debate among themselves. Who among them would do such a deed? Then an argument broke out among them about which of them should be regarded as the greatest. He said to them,
The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are addressed as benefactors. But among you it shall not be so. Rather, let the greatest among you be as the youngest, and the leader as the servant. For who is greater, the one seated at table, or the one who serves? Is it not the one seated at table? I am among you as the one who serves. It is you who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer a kingdom on you. Just as my Father has conferred one on me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And you will sit on the thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed that your own faith may not fail. And once you have turned back, you must strengthen your brothers.
He said to him,
Lord, I am prepared to go to prison and to die with you.
But he replied,
I tell you, Peter, before the cock crows this day, you will deny three times that you know me.
He said to them,
When I sent you forth without a money bag or a sack or sandals, were you in need of anything?
No, no, nothing.
They replied. He said to them,
But now one who has a money bag should take it, and likewise a sack, and one who does not have a sword should sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me. Namely, he was counted among the wicked, and indeed what is written about me is coming to fulfillment.
Then they said,
Lord, look, there are two swords here.
But he replied,
It is enough.
Then going out, he went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them,
Pray that you may not undergo the test.
And withdrawing about a stone's throw from them and kneeling, he prayed, saying,
Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Still, not my will, but yours be done.
And to strengthen him, an angel from heaven appeared to him. He was in such agony, And he prayed so fervently that his sweat became like drops of blood falling on the ground. When he rose from prayer and returned to his disciples, he found them sleeping from grief. He said to them,
"Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not undergo the test."
While he was still speaking, a crowd approached, and in front was one of the 12, a man named Judas. He went up to Jesus to kiss him. Jesus said to him,
"Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?"
His disciples realized what was about to happen, and they asked, And one of them struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said in reply,
"Stop, no more of this."
Then he touched the servant's ear and healed him. And Jesus said to the chief priests and temple guards and elders who had come for him,
"Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? Day after day I was with you in the temple area, and you did not seize me. But this is your hour, the time for the power of darkness."
After arresting him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter was following at a distance. They lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it, and Peter sat down with them. When a maid saw him seated in the light, she looked intently at him and said,
"This man too was with him."
But he denied it, saying,
"Woman, I do not know him."
A short while later, someone else saw him and said,
"You too are one of them."
But Peter answered,
"My friend, I am not."
About an hour later, still another insisted,
"Assuredly, this man too was with him, for he is also a Galilean."
But Peter said,
"My friend, I do not know what you are talking about."
Just as he was saying this, the cock crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me 3 times. He went out and began to weep bitterly. The men who held Jesus in custody were ridiculing and beating him. They blindfolded him and questioned him, saying, And they reviled him and saying many other things against him. When day came, the council of elders of the people met, both chief priests and scribes, and they brought him before the Sanhedrin. They said to him,
"If you are the Christ, tell us."
But he replied to them,
"If I tell you, you will not believe. But if I question, you will not respond. But from this time on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God."
They all ask,
"Are you then the Son of God?"
He replied to them,
"You say that I am."
Then they said,
"What further need have we of testimony? We have heard it from his own mouth."
Then the whole assembly of them arose and brought him before Pilate. They brought charges against him, saying,
"We found this man deceiving our people. He opposes the payment of taxes to Caesar and maintains that he is Christ, a king."
Pilate asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
He said to him in reply,
"You say so."
Pilate then addressed the chief priest and the crowds,
"I find this man not guilty."
But they were adamant and said,
"He is inciting the people with his teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee where he began and even to here."
On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. And upon learning that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was in Jerusalem at that time. Herod was very glad to see Jesus. He had been wanting to see him for a long time, for he had heard about him and had been hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at length, but he gave him no answer. The chief priests and scribes, meanwhile, stood by accusing him harshly. Herod and his soldiers treated him contemptuously and mocked him. And after clothing him in resplendent garb, he sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends that very day, even though they had been enemies formerly. Pilate then summoned the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them,
"You brought this man to me and accused him of inciting the people to revolt. I have conducted my investigation in your presence and have not found this man guilty of the charges you have brought against him, nor did Herod, for he sent him back to us. So no capital crime has been committed by him. Therefore, I shall have him flogged and then release him."
But all together they shouted out,
"Away with this man! Release Barabbas from us!"
Now Barabbas had been in prison for a rebellion that had taken place in the city and for murder. Again, Pilate addressed them, still wishing to release Jesus, but they continued their shouting,
"Crucify him! Crucify him!"
Pilate addressed them a third time,
"What evil has this man done? I found him guilty of no capital crime. Therefore, I shall have him flogged and then release him."
With loud shouts, however, they persisted in calling for his crucifixion, and their voices prevailed. The verdict of Pilate was that their demand should be granted. So he released the man who had been in prison for rebellion and murder for whom they had asked, and he handed Jesus over to them to deal with as they wished. As they led him away, they took hold of a certain Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country. And after laying the cross on him, they made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd of people followed Jesus, including many women who mourned and lamented him. Jesus turned to them and said,
"Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep instead for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming when people will say, 'Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' At that time, people will say to the mountains, 'Fall upon us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if these things are done when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?"
Now two others, both criminals, were led away with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right, the other on his left. Then Jesus said,
"Father, forgive them. They know not what they do."
They divided his garments by casting lots. The people stood by and watched. The rulers, meanwhile, sneered at him and said,
"He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God."
Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out,
"If you are king of the Jews, save yourself."
Above him there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying,
"Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us."
The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply,
"Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly. For the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal."
Then he said,
"Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom."
He replied to him,
"Amen, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise."
It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. because of an eclipse of the sun. Then the veil of the temple was torn down the middle. Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
"Father, into your hands I commend my spirit."
And when he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion who had witnessed what had happened glorified God and said,
"This man was innocent beyond doubt."
When all the people who had gathered for this spectacle saw what had happened, they returned home beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances stood at a distance, including the women who had followed him from Galilee and saw these events. Now there was a virtuous and righteous man named Joseph, who, though he was a member of the council, had not consented to their plan of action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea and was waiting for the kingdom of God. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. After he had taken the body down, he wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a rock-hewn tomb in which no one had yet been buried. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come from Galilee with him followed behind, and when they had seen the tomb and the way in which his body was laid in it, they returned and prepared spices and perfumed oils. Then they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Each year we begin our celebration of Holy Week on this Palm Sunday of the Lord's Passion, hearing a different account of Jesus' Passion. This year, of course, we hear from Luke's Gospel. And there are many, many themes that are prevalent throughout it, themes similar to, of course, the other Gospels. But Luke has an interesting theme that a scripture scholar recognized and pointed out. And that is the cross of Jesus liberates those burdened with fear or weakness or evil. And he pointed out that it is just in his passion that these occur. The resurrection, of course, brings us salvation and the forgiveness of sins. But how does this theme kind of play out in what we just heard? We, of course, know that Jesus' disciples abandoned him in that garden as he was arrested. But then Peter decided to follow at a distance. And he even got into almost the inner courtyard to be close to what was going on. And yet, despite this supposed bravery, three times he was asked if he was with Jesus. And he not only said, "No, I'm not," he would not even admit that he knew him. And after the third time and the cock crowed, the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and he went out and began to weep bitterly. All of a sudden, Peter was faced with his rejection of Jesus. He had sorrow in his heart, and he began to express it in a very real way. Another incident that occurred during this Passion narrative. Herod and Pilate became friends that very day, even though they had been enemies formerly. So here's two men, Herod, who basically was a puppet of the Roman government, serving as king, and Pilate, the Roman governor, in charge of ensuring that peace through force continued throughout Judea. They apparently were in tension. There apparently even was so bad that they were considered enemies. Now, Herod, of course, continued to follow the dictates of Rome, but even with that, he still despised Pilate. But in the Passion of Jesus, they somehow were bound together. They somehow understood that we have a common cause. And it was so important that the gospel writer of Luke's gospel said they became friends that very day because of Jesus' passion. And then, of course, Jesus is led up that hill of Calvary after he had been beaten within an inch of his life, carrying that heavy cross, falling several times, being stripped of all his clothes, and then nailed to that cross. And the agony that went through his body with each and every breath. Despite all of this, Jesus prayed to his heavenly Father, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." Even in the midst of this emotional, psychological, and physical agony, he was already ready to reach out his mercy, even to those who directly participated in this travesty. And then there is the exchange between the two criminals that were crucified along with Jesus. One criminal, of course, saying, "Hey, if you're the Christ, save us. Bring us down for this cross and free us." But the other criminal rebuked him, saying, "You and I are justly condemned. We actually are criminals. We actually did the crime. We are deserving of this punishment, but this man is innocent." And then he turned and pleaded with Jesus, and Jesus' response was, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Already on the cross, the promise of eternal life given to us all through his resurrection, he was already making that first promise to a criminal that had been crucified along with him. And then, of course, as Jesus breathes his last and died, and we have the temple curtain being torn in two, a centurion, possibly one who led the men who crucified Jesus, probably one that oversaw his beatings, seeing all that had happened, he said, "This man was innocent beyond doubt." In Jesus' passion and death, this man saw that he was innocent. This man saw that he was righteous. He couldn't express the total truth of who Jesus was, but the seeds of faith had already been sown in his heart that he recognized the innocence of Jesus. And then the people that had witnessed all of this, they gathered to watch this spectacle. They gathered to watch this. And yet they were moved so deeply, they came to watch an execution, but they returned home beating their breasts, realizing whatever sin that they had as they came, they needed God's mercy. And so, my dear friends, we begin this Holy Week celebration. The passion and death of our Lord is starkly proclaimed today, and we spend the rest of this Holy Week unpacking what we just heard. What did it mean when Jesus was at table and said, "This is my body, this is my blood"? We reflect upon that as we gather on Holy Thursday. For Jesus giving us his very self, his body and blood in the Eucharist. What does it mean for our Lord and Savior to be beaten, to be crucified, and to die? We reflect upon that as well the next day on the Friday we call Good. And then we join his disciples in holding vigil on Holy Saturday night, we hear in the scripture reading shared how God's plan of salvation unfolded throughout the ages, culminating in Jesus' victory over sin and death as he is raised from the dead. And continuing that celebration, of course, on Easter morning. To close out, share with you this quote from that author who reflected on Luke's passion account. God hears the voice of those who cry out in faith and agony. The signs of victory and affirmation begin to explode in Luke's account with increasing tempo. The Roman centurion who executed Jesus is transformed, praises God, and acclaims Jesus as truly the just one. The crowd repents. A member of the council that condemned him takes courage and does homage to the just man. Those who come to find the tomb find it empty. And on the road and in the city, the risen Christ reveals himself alive to his followers. Together, let us profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty.